When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's Friday, and that means it's time for the Wrestling Inc. SmackDown After Show, and have we got a show for you. We've got Cody Rhodes, the mystery partner. We got Logan Paul and LA Knight signing contracts, and Tiffany Stratton got her briefcase broke. But before we get into all of that, allow me to introduce the crew. I'm Jack Farmer, being joined by Glenn Rubenstein. Glenn, I don't know if we've done a SmackDown together before.
It's been a minute, I think. I think it's happened in the past, but you know, it all blurs together. Jack, as of yesterday, I have been co-hosting this podcast now for 8 years. Mm-hmm. So let me tell you, it has all blurred together. The wrestling has blurred together. The mispronunciations of wrestlers' names have blurred together. The pop culture references have blurred together. Essentially I've been doing this now for, like 1/6 of my life, and, happy as ever and excited we're doing this tonight.
Everyone doing the quick math of 8 1/6, and everyone in America is realizing that the education system has failed them because they can't figure it out. Glenn, you must be fully vested now.
Yes. Yes.
Vested. Do you have a... I think you have tenure now, right? You don't have...
I guess. I went back. You can find it on YouTube. You can find when I was a guest on this podcast on 7/11/2016, 7/18/2016, my first hosting gig. And it's crazy. I look back at it now and I'm like, you know, I've been doing the same thing for 8 years. Some might say, man, he's really improved over time. No, it's really just been this since day one.
You know, I love that you said that, because ironically, I found myself looking through old videos of when I first started getting into the old wrestling review game, and I was cringing through the whole thing, and I've absolutely changed. I mean, I still cringy, but just for different reasons now.
Yeah. In fact, some might argue I was actually a little more polished and professional when I started doing this.
Well, it's weird. When you start, there's this level of, like, you try to be professional. You try to do a good job. And then you realize, I can do whatever I want. I hope Wrestling Inc. is not listening. I can do whatever I want, and I'm going to be okay.
I think it was the first and the last time that I hosted this podcast. Was the first and the last time that I took notes during, like, Raw. I was like, I'm going to take notes and remember the funny things, that these funny thoughts I have, and I'll say them on the show. And now I've decided if I forget the funny thing, it wasn't that funny.
I still take copious notes. I'm always ready to go. I sit here. I have a it's old parchment with a quill, and I have to, like, and I take notes that way. Yes. So it's very poetic, actually, the way I take notes. Ricky Sinclair.
Yeah, down since day one. Not day one ish. Day one.
Down since Glenn first started. I can imagine you up there, you know, like,
yeah,
doing the thing.
Yeah. Eating all over the place. No, I think, it's great, man. I'm really, excited. You know, I think that wrestling, it's interesting to think about how much wrestling has evolved over the last 8 years. And to think when I was like the lone voice on the show being like, yeah, man, NXT is my favorite show to watch every week. And 8 years ago, people were like, you're insane.
Right, like, right. Well, and yeah. Then it became NXT 2.0 and it kind of started all over again. You bet. Yeah. No, this show's great. And everyone was like, you're insane. But again, people are coming on to it again. And you're like, yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's never changed. Well, actually, no, that's not true. During the black and gold era, when they were like the worst time, and we'll hop into the show in the news, but I will tell you the worst time doing this podcast was when NXT and AEW were on at the same time on Wednesday nights. Mm-hmm. And there was this idea that we had to cover both of them after they went off the air. And so for like a year, the MO was, we're going to watch both of them. Like I had two TVs, essentially. I had like a laptop screen and a TV screen, or an iPad and a TV screen. And I would flip back and forth on it. And then we would have to get on. And you've never seen division. We talk about, Jack, you know, uniting versus dividing, and you've never seen division. When there was a chat room where half of them had watched Dynamite and half of them watched NXT, and they were really upset about whichever one we decided to cover first.
It's you know, it's so funny because I started, of course, back then, but I wasn't at Wrestling Inc. I was at another company called AfterBuzz TV, and mm-hmm. a shout out because they're not doing this anymore. That's why, yeah. I'm here. You guys ran us out of business, I guess. You guys won the Wednesday Night Wars in the after department, I guess. And here I am coming over. I'm like the Booker T coming over after WCW went out of business. But where I was, I just did AEW, and then we had another team, Flobo Boyce, actually,
yeah.
Of Wrestling Inc., was on NXT. And so we were in a studio because it was in Hollywood. We would actually watch the shows next to each other and go into separate rooms to record. And of course, we're like looking back and forth, but and then we would talk trash to each other too. Like, your show's going to suck. Everyone's going to watch ours. But it's terrible for the shows because then our viewers.
It's awful.
Because then like we would only get half the viewers that we would typically get. So it was actually terrible for what we were doing. I think my show always did better than Flobo Boyce's, who's actually here right now in the chat, but he did okay.
In fact, here's what I'm going to rank. Best days of my life. Day I got married, up there. The day that Bo and Luke Duke came back to the Dukes of Hazzard after their contract dispute, and we had Coy and Vance for a season. I was like 6 years old. I didn't know they were coming back to the show. So when Bo and Luke Duke pulled in, I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. This is the best day ever. Third best day of my life, when NXT moved back to Tuesday, or when NXT moved to Tuesdays.
That makes sense.
Like seriously, third best day of my life.
That actually absolutely makes sense to me. I follow completely. I think I know we have a bit here, but my best day of my life is I got free tickets to E3 and I got to see X-Men First Class the day it came out. That was a pretty cool day.
Yeah, hey, that's good. That's up there, you know? Like, definitely. Isn't it weird when you think about it? Thank God I don't have children. Like, I could be like, oh, the day I adopted my cats, that was the best. Like, it's up there. But it's just like, if I had kids, I'd be like, it's top 20 for sure. But let me tell you, did you see X2, X-Men United, like, at the Thursday night preview? Because that was like, that's like top 10, top 5.
Yeah, that was incredible. If I had kids, you're right, it'd be filled with things like baseball games for them, and they don't score any points, but I got to cheer them on and cut orange slices all afternoon. No, I get to do whatever I want. It's beautiful. You're right.
And that's why you volunteer to bring the Capri Sun. You let someone else do the orange slices.
And you know, I'm going to be honest with you. I have multiple pets in my lifetime. Hmm. Adopting them, rarely the best day. In fact, it starts as a good day, but I just adopted a puppy. Great, great little puppy. Cute little thing. Was just the sweetest, most loving thing. And then I signed the paperwork for adoption. As soon as that signature's there, she becomes a terror, Glenn. She's nipping at my feet. She's eating everything. She's chewing up everything around the house. I don't know. It was like she knew. She's like, gotcha.
So it's sort of like a mix of the movie Orphan and Problem Child.
Yes. By the way, Problem Child, underrated. Kevin McAllister beat feet. You got Junior, who's the real terror. Come on.
John Ritter, may he rest in peace. as the father and problem child. But let's talk about some news. There's a lot that is happening in the world of wrestling. Everybody talking about this new signing, perhaps a new addition to the Bloodline, Hikuleo, finishing up his run with New Japan Pro Wrestling, being reported that he has reached a deal with the company. Of course, his brother, Tama Tonga, their adopted brother, Tonga Loa. The Bloodline just keeps growing and growing and growing. Jack, are you excited about this addition?
I'm really torn about it because all the logic I can think of is like, look, they've got too many people. There's only so many you can have. At some point, you got to quit just adding members. But I feel like I've been saying that for a while now. And every time they add one, I'm like, oh, that was awesome. I loved it. So they have it. It's like hypocritical of me to say it'd be bad for them to keep adding members or that there's too many. I have to say I'm excited because every time they do it, I go, that was awesome. I'm glad they did it. So, yeah, I'm excited about it. I'm excited about Hikuleo. I'm excited about him being a part of this team. And I'm excited about what this could potentially mean.
I mean, Jack, if you want them to stop adding members to the Bloodline, you really should have spoke to the parents about 25, 30 years ago.
Yeah, speaking of, you know who, I'm sure there's not a lot of folks in the Samoan dynasty that got to go see First Class the day it came out because they had kids to take care of.
That's tough. Although now don't they do like early morning showings where they're like, hey, come watch Minions at 10 in the morning and it'll just be crying babies and no one will complain.
Yes, well... I feel like crying babies get there no matter what you do.
That's true. And it's sometimes it's the weirdest movies. It's like, okay, I'm watching Saw. Who brought a newborn child to this?
Yeah, that is the craziest. It is like the most horrible movies that they bring children to. And I'm thinking, and by the way, AMC, who's selling tickets to people when they've got a little baby in their arm to go see Saw 14? Like, We're here to see the show where someone mutilates himself. Me and Junior here.
Hey, as long as they buy concessions, you know, I think they got an open door policy. But also in the news, a former WWE talent has indicated their non-compete is up. That is right. Hindered No More, the former Jinder Mahal Raj the Maharaja. His 90 days are up. And he is free now to... take his career to new heights. Are you excited about the prospect of seeing Jinder in AEW or other promotions?
I'm actually really excited to see what Jinder does on the indie scene. I got a feeling that he might be one of those guys similar to a Matt Cardona that can really tap in to the indie market and really find a second life there. I could see a place like GCW absolutely loving someone like Jinder Mahal. I could see someone, or actually that's not that. What's the name he's going by now? Raj?
The Maharaja. That's
Maharaja, Maharaja. Well, I could see him doing very well on the indie scene. I could see him doing very well anywhere. He's a big guy with a lot of wrestling experience, former world champion. He's going to be fine anywhere, but I think someone of his size and his stature and his history, I think in a higher end indie company is going to really be a must buy ticket. So like I said, GCW, biggest indie really out there, but here on the West Coast, we've got West Coast Pro, Prestige, Defy, those kind of places, United Wrestling Network, those are places that I could see him being. Would love to see him pop into one of those places. That'd be must see to see someone like that there.
Yeah. And we're going to have WWE former star Zia Lee competing in MMA Combat Night in Florida on August 3rd, 2024. She's also booked for the Queen of the Indies, West Coast Pro Wrestling, on August 17th. Zia Lee, it's crazy to think about this. I wasn't even aware she was with WWE for 7 years before being released in April.
You were actually there when she signed. You were here at Wrestling Inc. covering it, I believe.
I know. But isn't that going to be so weird to think about? Like back when Thea Hale was graduating the sixth grade, I was hosting the Wrestling Inc. podcast.
Don't get me started on NXT this week when 22-year-old Roxanne Perez was hey-kidding a 20-year-old Thea Hale. I felt so old. She's like, I'm 22. When you're my age, you'll understand. And I was like, oh my God, Father Time, what are you doing to me?
Yeah, if you go back, you could see Roxanne Perez in the comment section of early Wrestling Inc. podcasts.
Can you really?
No, I'm kidding. I'm just making that up. I'm saying she showed up at everything. Like, there's so much WWE archive footage on Roxanne. You know, like Izzy's got to be pissed. Like, Roxanne stole my thunder. Like, this was supposed to be my gimmick. If I'd only been, you know, 2 years sooner on this. Because Roxanne's like everywhere. Yeah. She's like Forrest Gump of wrestling fans.
You know, you're right, but I'm stuck thinking, if you ever decide to pull a heist, don't invite me, because here you are saying stuff, and I'm like, really? That's what? That happened? Do you have pictures? Like, Jack, I'm trying to do a bit here. You're stepping all over it.
I just feel like not a week goes by where we don't see some archive footage of a wrestling event, and there's Roxanne Perez as a child in the audience.
From 2 years ago.
She's killing it, though, man. She, like, that promo with Thea Hale was good, and I have to admit, in her first championship run, I think she lacked gravitas and stature, again, because she was so young, and just because of the Mandy Rose situation, like, Roxanne found herself there, but I think what she's doing now as a heel is phenomenal.
I'm making all these jokes, but I think this is going to be a very interesting generation of wrestlers, because there are so many super young, super talented wrestlers, but also wrestlers are performing so much longer than they ever have. So not only is it like we have like Javon Evans, Thea Hale, of course, Roxanne Perez and everyone else like that in 19, 18, 19, 20, 22, but you also have wrestlers who are getting well into their 40s, close to 50s, still wrestling regularly. How old is Rey Mysterio? Is he 50?
I think perhaps, yeah, Rey's not that much older than me. That dude, that's the weirder thing, Jack, is when I look at a lot of talent and see how old they are, and I'm like, part of me is like, what have I done with my life? Where you're like 2 years older, you know?
But I mean, that's my point, is we might be seeing someone like Thea Hale, and all said and done, she may have like a 35-year career in the ring. Like, that's insane to me to think of. We might be able to watch this person for like 35 years at a high level competing in WWE. That's insane to me.
Yeah. Well, you know, we were talking earlier about potential for the Bloodline to keep growing. Additionally, some younger members of the Bloodline, the Tonga Twins, Tahin and Talavu Tonga from Women of Wrestling, were seen at the Performance Center.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's interesting, man. This is like this is legitimately like the Bloodline, the next generation.
It's, again, it's another more people to add. I think I like the idea of females being added to the Bloodline, but it's tough to do without it feeling like just because you can't have intergender matches and things like that. So it's hard to add one person who's kind of on an island with their own, you know, island of relevancy, but this, you know, doing their own thing that isn't related to everything else Bloodline, because they can't really feud with the same people. Mm-hmm. So that would be very tricky, of course, with like the Tonga Twins or something like that. Maybe you add a couple of people, but then it becomes it's like NWO back in the day, where it's like every match is an NWO match if you want everyone to be on TV. Someone has to start eating lots of losses and it dilutes what the Bloodline is. Again, I'm being skeptical, but every time they add someone, they seem to do a good job. So what do I know?
Well, what's interesting, interestingly enough, the Tonga Twins are not blood relatives, but they're trained by Rikishi. So this is kind of like an expansion team.
Right. So again, it depends on how big they want this Bloodline to get, but it truly can become, I mean, you could practically have a roster with just Bloodline, you know? It's incredible.
I think if they were going to add women, I think Tamina would have been included already.
Right. That's kind of what I'm thinking also.
So what's up? Tamina's still signed, right?
I think so. I haven't heard that she's...
I know, but I'm trying to think, when's the last time we saw Tamina? She was in the Rumble, right?
She was. I don't know. I don't know, but I think they're basically, I do believe that with the Bloodline, they're trying to be very careful with what they do. I don't think they want to add people just to add people. I don't think they want to add people just because they're necessarily related or available. I think they want to know that there is a story that can be told with them joining, and it's going to add up with everything else.
Yeah, and as Ebony's saying, like, what's the end game with them all joining? I think Roman's going to be back at the end of SummerSlam. If Cody versus Solo is the end of the show, I think we could see Randy Orton pulling some shenanigans with Cody and setting up a feud with them. And we see Roman coming back and taking Solo to task. And then we get the Bloodline Civil War.
Right. Yeah, that would make sense. I think, so you think, because the way it's timed out, I could easily see it lasting until WrestleMania. You think Bloodline Civil War is a WrestleMania event?
Maybe Survivor Series, War Games.
I mean,
OG Bloodline, New Bloodline.
That's Prince money to me.
And then the Rock. No, this is how you do it. The baby Bloodline wins because the Rock aligns with them and turns on Roman. And then you set up Rock and Roman for Mania in Vegas.
There you go. So yeah. It'd be 4-on-4 in this case.
You put you go Jimmy
5-on-5, isn't it?
It could be okay, but no, here's how you do it though. You do Jimmy, Jay, Roman, and The Rock versus Solo, Tama, Tonga, and Jacob.
You can't have Rock and Roman on the same team.
That's why it'd be great when The Rock turns on him.
That's overpowered. That's way too overpowered. I mean, I don't believe that
put Paul Heyman in the ring then.
Yeah. Let Paul Heyman on a pool match. Yes.
Oh, obviously they would give him a singlet, but sure.
I've got some thoughts about certain people being overpowered that I want to get into on this week's show.
Well, let's talk about that in a second. But first, let's just talk about the backstage update on CM Punk's potential in-ring return at SummerSlam in 2 weeks.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Jack Farm with the Wrestling Inc. Podcast. And a few years back, WWE sold a New Day themed kit where people could make unicorn horn shaped popsicles. They don't make them anymore, but you can still make your own popsicles even without the kit and get top tier hydration in the process. In these post-SummerSlam dog days, Liquid IV is offering refreshing summer flavors like Popsicle Firecracker and Rainbow Sherbet to keep you cool and give you 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, plus 8 essential vitamins and nutrients. Liquid IV is always non-GMO, vegan, gluten-free, dairy-free, and soy-free. Tear, pour, live more. 1 stick and 16 ounces of water hydrates better than water alone. It's great for a road trip to No Mercy or watching All In at home. Indulge in hydration this summer with Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use code WRESTLE at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code WRESTLE at liquidiv.com.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of 5-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Mm-hmm.
Who's in Florida trying to get cleared? It's unclear at this time, but do you think they can just pull the trigger on him versus Drew if he's able to get cleared for SummerSlam?
I think with Drew versus Punk, that has been built up so well and has been built up so long that you could pull the trigger on that at any moment and people are going to be ravenous for it. They're going to want it. They're going to be bloodthirsty for it. But I think the story here, the thing that really impresses me about this is that we all want to see CM Punk versus Drew McIntyre. But on Monday, they've pivoted in a way that makes the idea of Seth Rollins instead being the guy to face Drew McIntyre at SummerSlam. And it feels natural. It feels great. The fact that they have so much talent in WWE and the way that they have such control over the stories they're doing right now. It's so impressive that they're able to pivot like this. Could give us Seth versus Drew instead, and then give us McIntyre versus Punk at Bad Blood or whatever. That to me is what's super impressive about all this, and what really stands out to me is that they have so much, they have so many weapons right now. It's an embarrassment of riches in WWE.
Absolutely. Well, speaking of which, let's talk about SmackDown tonight. Take it away, Jack.
Yeah, well, of course, I always want to say before we get into the show, thanks to everyone who's watching and listening and giving us a like, a share, a comment, a subscribe, a five-star review. We haven't had a five-star review on Apple in a while. So someone, if you want to be a hero out there, go to Apple and give a five-star review and leave a nice little comment while you're there. Let us know what you think of the show. But everyone in the chat, Tracy, Shelbowski, KOD, Alicia, Tommy O, Greg, Brianne, John, and so many of you, Joe C, Lurk, and I can't say everyone like Jay Willie and Ebony and Tox and Goodfella. Everyone, thanks so much for joining us on Wrestling Inc. Let's talk about SmackDown. And of course, everyone in the chat, let us know what you're thinking as we're going. And in the comments later, just let us know what you think of the show. We start with Cody Rhodes. Comes out and says, Randy is family. Randy is my brother. Eventually, A-Town Down Under comes out and is upset that they got attacked because of Cody Rhodes. Rhodes then attacks A-Town Down Under. The numbers game is too much until Terrence Crawford at ringside hands over a steel chair to equalize the tag team. Glenn, I want to talk about the main event, of course, later on in the show. But as far as this opening segment goes, I feel like what it was really doing is teasing Randy Orton down the line here.
Yeah.
What do you think about it?
In fact, Jack, if I ever start complimenting you too much, it's foreshadowing that you're going to, you know, something bad's going to happen.
Yeah. It's, I'll be sure to know that if you start saying too many nice things to expect to go through the barbershop window.
Yeah, it was a little heavy-handed. It made sense. This elevated Austin and Waller quite a bit. I mean, they're kind of the this is an old man thing. I'm like, they're kind of the Jokers on SmackDown, you know?
The Jokers.
Yeah, just kind of, you know, always sitting there.
It's funny when you say that. At first, I thought you meant like Batman and Joker. No. But then I realized you said old man thing. Like, no, like those old rascals, those old troublemakers.
Well, rascals are on Tuesdays jokers. Now. But I think this was good for them. Kind of, isn't it weird though? Like, okay, so they're bullying Cody because it's 2-on-1. Cody takes a chair and starts trying to beat him with a chair, and he's the baby face. Where I was like, okay, we gotta fill time. And for those of you that don't know, they taped another SmackDown. I think they taped the other SmackDown before the one we saw tonight.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, I think so, because East Coast.
Oh.
Yeah, you can't do two starting at 8 p.m. Eastern. Keep the audience there till 11. That's not great.
I mean, that's a long day.
Yeah.
I mean, some places do that pretty regularly, but
yeah.
But let me, how'd you feel about this version of Cody Rhodes? Cause usually he's the front of the mullet, all business, but tonight he seemed very much the back. He had the cut off sleeves. He was using the chair, seemed a little bit more feisty than we're used to seeing the American Nightmare.
Yeah, I thought it was good. I think that it was a lot of manufactured drama to get us to that aftermath of the main event, but I'm okay with that.
So, of course, the main event is more of the exciting stuff. We'll talk about that as we get to the end of the show, but I want to talk about Carmelo Hayes versus Andrade. Carmelo gets his hair cleaned up before the match. It's a really good one. Match of the night, I'd say. Eventually, Andrade gets the win. I've been excited to talk to you about this one because, again, match of the night, big fan of Andrade, but I am a very big fan of Carmelo Hayes. And I know that you are an NXT guy, so I know that you have to be a big fan of Carmelo Hayes. We don't get to chat SmackDown very often. What grade would you give Carmelo Hayes and how he's handled himself on the main roster so far?
I think it's been rough, to be honest. I think the heel turn in NXT was interesting. And because of that status he had where we knew he was getting called up, but they still wanted the arc with Trick. I don't think that he got to really cook with that in NXT. Mm-hmm. I think he did well, but I don't think he did the best he could with it. And on the main roster, it's interesting because they gave him that original match against Cody. And it was like, oh, could he be going back to being a face? Like, you know, rookie of the year, kid on the come up, like that all made sense. But it's like now it's like, no, they're playing him still kind of ambiguous. You know, he's not a babyface, but he's not like a heel. So that being said, I loved this match tonight, man, but he's got to get some dubs. You know, it's like if you want to launch an NXT star on the main roster, like him getting a loss and a handshake from Cody on that first big, big match, like that wasn't, you know, I think that set you as a member of the kids stable.
It's something my old pal Evan Mack used to always say, like the Dolph Ziggler syndrome, where you can be incredible, you can be great, but if you lose all the time, eventually it's being great isn't going to be enough. And I agree with you. I think Melo's just too cool. He's too likable. I want to like him. So when he can be a bad guy when he needs to. He can be a bad guy when he has to. But like, let's just, he's cool. Let me like him. Let me cheer for this guy. The way he wrestles is exciting. He's cool when he's on the microphone. I want to like this guy. Don't make me not like someone I actively want to like. You know what I mean?
It's competing pushes though, because Andrade came back, then they kind of forgot he was back. Then he got the promo. The vignette, and now they're booking him, but it's this is where it gets really, really tough. And maybe, and I'm again, this was an excellent match tonight, but it's like maybe you shouldn't have two guys you're trying to establish. In the case of Andrade reestablished, maybe you shouldn't have them feuding with one another.
I mean, yeah, it's that torn between, because they both need to win, it makes it an interesting match, but then at the same time, I'm a little bit bummed out one way or the other.
No right answer.
In the chat, Alicia A says it was a great match, but both need a win. Yeah. Jay Willie gives Carmelo Hayes a B so far. Ebony's worried about Carmelo becoming Ricochet 2.0, and Goodfellow wants to see a best of seven between the two.
And they'll end up as a tag team together at the end.
Right. That's how it ends up, a meddling tag team, because those tag teams, they'll win the championship once and then they kind of fall. But Carmelo, I always say, like, I'm a fan of Andrade, but Carmelo, I say he could be generational, man. I think he is so good at everything he does in every capacity. I think he delivers. And it feels like no matter how big the stage is, he doesn't wilt. Carmelo Hayes to me is someone that I want to see him be someone we can cheer for. I want to see him be someone who's getting wins, and I want to see him be someone who continues to climb up the ladder and not just be, you know, taking losses like this.
But it's tough because, again, somebody has to win, somebody has to lose, unless they could have found a creative way to end it. But that would have been as satisfying to have a creative way to end it given what a great match it was. Let me ask you this. Can it truly be a great match, even if these guys wrestle their hearts out? Can it truly be a great match without a definitive and satisfying conclusion? Like, you can't have a schnoz ending.
I think you can, but it's harder, obviously. It kind of depends on what the schmoz is. I don't want to talk about other companies on the WWE show, but this week on another company, they had kind of a cheap way to end a very good matchup. But I also think it was like the best way to do it, too. So I think you can. I do want to say Kenny in the chat saying, ah, yes, the rare Jack Glenn combo. Love to see it. We're like the McRib. We're not around all the time, but when we're around, you better get as much of it as you can.
It's like putting French fries in a burrito. You don't know how great it is until you try it.
Oh, yes, that's absolutely true. So which one of us are the French fries? Which one of us are the burrito?
Some might argue I'm a little more burrito shaped than you are, but
Kenny does say, I feel like Carmelo can take the loss in this situation as long as they have a banger and he looks strong, showcases his moves. Got to start getting wins soon, though. And it's a tough, there's a lot of people ahead of him when it comes to the next level. And we'll talk about that in a second. But Talk says, and I'll throw this one to you, Glenn. Guys, don't you think they have just too many wrestlers for Triple H to handle? Do you think that's true?
I mean, it's an interesting take on it, but this is also why you have enhancement talent. This is why you have, you know, a team like Pretty Deadly, and why haven't we gotten that musical yet? This is why you keep people around to literally enhance the matches of talent that you're trying to push. And it's not to say, and I love Pretty Deadly, it's not to say that they can't be their own thing, but Pretty Deadly is, like, given how gimmick focused they are, really quite good in the ring, but at the same time they can just do character work take the L, you know, in singles or tag competition and get other talent over, and they won't suffer as a result of that.
Right I agree. I don't think you can ever have too many. I don't buy into they have too many people on the roster. I think that having a lot of talented people is always a good thing. I mean, it's tough sometimes for people to make the team, so to speak, or to get in the game. But you know, I look at like any other sports team. If you're a football team, you can't be like, I have too many superstars on my team. You know, like, that's good. It's good to have that many. Speaking of big superstars, Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill run into Chelsea Green and Piper Niven backstage, and both teams want a title shot, and that leads to Bianca and Chelsea Green having a match. Bianca makes quick work of Chelsea, and then afterwards, the tag team champions from the Titantron, that's what I still call it. I don't know what it's called anymore, but the Titantron, they say they have all the power because they are the champions. Glenn, we talk about power, or it looks like we're going to get Bianca and Jade versus the tag team champions title on the line down the road. Everyone loves Bianca and Jade. I love Bianca and Jade. You love Bianca and Jade. I'm guessing. Are they just too powerful though? I mean, I feel like this is a team that even when the champions are on the screen, I'm like, you got no chance against these two. They're overpowered, aren't they?
Well, it's interesting. There are creative ways, though, to sometimes have. I mean, like, we're going to talk about the other women's match that occurred. There are creative ways sometimes to book a win, but it's like Bianca and Jade. Like, it's, you could pair them against any women on the roster, some men as well, and I would believe that they're unbeatable.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So you kind of know where these are going, but that's why it's going to make it all the more surprising when they ultimately split. You know, surprises happen occasionally, but again, Chelsea Green, there is something amazing about a wrestler's ability to be super over and make compelling TV. And it doesn't matter if they win or lose.
Yes. Do you think Chelsea needs to start winning some, though? Because I don't think she is one of those people. I don't know what her finisher is, and she's been on in a lot of matches. I would say if I don't know what your finisher is and you're on TV a lot, that's a bad sign.
That's the best. That would be the best insult to give in a promo and just be like, I'm gonna hit my finisher on you and you're gonna hit. We don't even know what your finisher is. It's like Curt Hawkins. What was Curt Hawkins' finisher?
I don't know.
You don't have no idea, right?
I have like, no idea.
Yeah, that is a sick burn to hit your opponent with.
Oh, Ricky's right though. It's the I'm pretty her.
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, that's right. So Ricky, our expert in the chat, thank you for correcting me. But the point remains, I don't feel like it's as urgent as it is for someone like Carmelo, but I do feel like Chelsea's got to get a few wins, even if they're cheap or something, because she is so good. But at some point, if you lose every single time, yeah, you just become a loudmouth. And
that's okay
someone who's,
for her.
You think, I mean, like I said, it's working great now. Don't get me wrong. I love Chelsea Green. She's probably one of the best characters on TV right now. And I'm saying one of, because I just want to make sure I'm not forgetting someone off the top of my head.
She's the heel version of R-Truth. R-Truth is the ultimate babyface who it doesn't matter if he wins or loses, but you love it when he gets that rare win.
My fear is she's becoming, again, she's talked about this, becoming like The Miz. Now, The Miz is a very successful wrestler. Oh,
yeah,
but,
becoming like The Miz.
But I mean, in this day and age, when Miz has a match, you're not really expecting him to win it if it's against anyone of value. Like if you see, you know, The Miz versus Seth Rollins, you know who's winning, you know, and it takes a little bit of thunder out of anything he does because you know he's not going to be the guy who wins.
But he could. But at any time they could say, we're going to put The Miz on a tear and have him win. Maybe clean. He misses one clean, misses one dirty. You know, I think when you get to the point, this is the thing that I love about professional wrestling. If you are a great character and make great television with every appearance, so many of the rules don't apply to you.
That's true.
You know, about wins and losses mattering, about your credibility of like a clean win versus a dirty win, or your opponent slips on a banana peel. Like R-Truth can win. Like gravity is the only rule that applies to R-Truth. Everything
and,
else.
And even then it's
yeah. Iffy. And even then, and even gravity cuts him some slack now and again, because they yeah. like him so much.
Yeah. It's, yeah, she's great. I want to see her get wins. I'm a fan of hers. That's why I want to see her get wins. But you're right. I mean, with wrestling, it is interesting that, yeah, if you are good at what you do, you can literally do anything. And it's funny because you look back at some of the people who have become very popular over the years and how some of them turn everything you expect of what a popular wrestler would be on their head. And you're like, oh, this person made that great. You know, again, I don't want to talk too much about another company, but you know, like Orange Cassidy, if you told me 5 years ago this guy's going to become a star, I'd be like, wait, a guy who doesn't care, that's not gonna work.
I believe that from day one.
Like
I go back, because I've been doing this since AEW wasn't even in Tony Khan's imagination when I started doing this podcast. And like Orange Cassidy, I got that from day one and was like, this is brilliant, because at any time, you know, and by the way, I would argue he's in the top five homegrown, I use that term yeah. loosely because he was on the indies, but top five homegrown talents that AEW has.
Yeah, homegrown's a weird thing. People argue about it all the time. I try not to argue about it too much, because like, unless like the training schools are all the places that
I know homegrown. they don't have a performance center,
right? So I'd call him homegrown, but in any case, it looks like Bianca and Jade are going to get tag team title shots, and Chelsea and Piper are going to find some other way to be on TV, and it's going to be great, and we're all going to love it.
Yeah. Can we talk about this Bayley and Nia promo?
Well, I was going to go on to LA Knight and Logan okay, Paul first, well, but you know.
Okay. Whatever you're feeling, Jack.
This is how.
I'm just looking at the order of things happened in.
I'm bundling the Bayley stuff with.
Okay. Oh, God. I understand.
I'm packaging it.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Can we talk about backstage where I saw this out of the corner of my eye that when Santos Escobar came on screen, they had to put on screen Santos Escobar?
That's probably not a good sign, too.
Like, did I imagine that, or did that happen for a split second when Santos Escobar was on screen?
I do think they should do that, I think, though, with everybody.
It was backstage. It wasn't like he was entering.
I feel like they should do that with everybody, though, because that way you know who people are. And like,
sure, why don't they just have them wear a name tag? Hello, my name is Santos.
I'd love that. It's
hello, my name is Santos Escobar. That's an indie gimmick. A hello, my name is tag. That is a killer indie gimmick. An indie wrestler should be using that.
And everyone would appreciate it because, yes, like, oh my God, I'm so bad with names. Thank you so much for the name tag. You helped me out here. It means
and
a lot.
You'd be like, and it'd be genius because every time you're on TV, it's like, well, people know my name. I'm wearing a name tag.
Hi, I'm Jack Farmer.
Yeah, I'm the most recognizable person in sports entertainment because you see my name.
It'd be great too if they got big, like The Rock is still wearing. Hi, I'm The Rock. Oh, good. I forgot.
When I work in creative, that's going to be so someone at the Performance Center in NXT is going to get a gimmick like, hi, my name is Bob. Like,
right, that's it. That's the gimmick.
Just hi. Bob. And people are like, I love that wrestler, Bob. He's great.
It's very Joe Hendry-ish in the sense that you can kind of just go up to anybody at any moment and go, hi, I'm Bob. And then that person picks a fight with them, and that's the match.
Yeah, like, what's with that Bob guy?
Much like Joe Hendry, someone could just say, I hate that Joe Hendry guy. And then he appears, and it's like, ah, this guy.
Yeah.
So, it looks like that's going to be LA Knight's next matchup. But for tonight, he signs a contract with Logan Paul for the U.S. title. That one's going to go down at SummerSlam. They go back and forth on the microphone, and Logan Paul tries to get one up on LA Knight, but LA Knight's too quick for him. These two guys are great on the mic together, but I got to ask you, Glenn, is this match do or die for LA Knight? Can he lose this?
No, he cannot. This is straining the limits of credibility.
Yeah.
Like, you just can't. He needs to win that U.S. title at SummerSlam.
It has been about 2 years of people going nuts for Yeah, and everybody's saying L.A. Knight. And like, at some point, you got to give the people what they want. At some point, you got to give them that big win, because eventually we're going to, like I keep saying, we're going to get to that point like, you're never winning the big one. I'm over it. He's very much SmackDown's Jey Uso right now, where like everyone loves him, but you got to win something. You got to win something big. I thought these two have great chemistry though on the microphone. I could watch these guys have mic battles repeatedly.
Yeah.
Do you think this is where Logan Paul should be? Is he a U.S. champion guy, or should he move up to a legitimate world championship level? Because he's challenged for it twice now.
I think he's going to do this match, drop the title, take a couple months off, and then come back and be going after the IC title with Sami Zayn. Maybe World Heavyweight Championship, although if Walter has it, or Gunther, pardon me.
One of those people, huh?
I keep forgetting. I'm like, which is the new one and which is the old one?
He's still Walter to me.
Yeah, he can't run it with Cody again. That makes no sense.
You know what matchup I'd like to see, depending on how long he's gone and what the situation is I'd love to see him challenge CM Punk for the world title. I think CM Punk and Logan Paul would have some very interesting promos back and forth. And you know what? I'd love to see Logan Paul take the title from CM Punk. I bet that would ruffle many feathers. So I'd be down for that one too, but needless to say, LA Knight, you got to win this one. You have to.
Must.
must. Like, no matter, I don't care how fishy the ending is. I don't care what, like, a loss, not walking away with the title will not work for LA Knight. If he loses it, I think that a lot of people are just going to cash in their chips.
No, he needs to come back as Max Dupree if he does not win the title at SummerSlam.
You know, I was a big fan of Max Dupree. I mean, LA Knight is clearly the superior option, but I'm not going to sit here and pretend like Max Dupree and Maximum Male Models were not wildly entertaining.
Maximum Male Models, how crazy is it? They leave WWE, they're signed by Ring of Honor, and they got the same gimmick.
Yeah, exact same gimmick.
Like, that's rare to go to another major promotion. It's one thing if the Fashion Police go to the indies, but they're not showing up doing the exact, not a gimmick that wild and distinct.
Yeah, so I'm happy about it. I'm glad we're getting to see it, though, because, yeah, I loved them. I absolutely loved them. Tuck says, some call it legend. Alicia says, I personally don't like Logan Paul for stuff he did before he got into wrestling, so I don't want him to win. Also, LA Knight needs to win. I did not follow Logan Paul before wrestling, so I've heard about things, but I have no idea.
I knew he was wildly disliked, and so I had skepticism. And then once we saw him wrestle, literally it was like, oh my God, I hate how good he is.
Yeah.
And that works. So everything you dislike about Logan Paul actually is beautiful in the world of pro wrestling.
Yeah, he's fantastic. We got a backstage side-by-side interview with Nia Jax and Bayley. Nia Jax says she's taking the title, and Bayley says Nia hasn't changed. This leads to a match between Tiffany Stratton and Meechan, where Tiffany has Nia by her side. Nia's helping Stratton until Bayley comes out and fights off Nyla, destroys the Money in the Bank briefcase, and distracts Stratton long enough so that Meechan can get the win. Glenn, a lot of big stuff happened here.
Sure. I mean,
from the briefcase, from the side-by-side promo, to the match itself, the upset. I'm going to start with, you know, I don't want to bury the lead. I'm going to start with the biggest thing here. Pop Your Bubblegum Song. I mean, that has to be the banger of the summer, right?
It was okay. I like the Tiffy in the Bank vignette.
Okay. That song slapped. It popped.
I've been listening to a lot of AI music lately. So,
there's your problem.
I think everything's AI now. Where I'm just like, oh.
I like music that has no heart and soul.
No, I put a lot of effort into the AI music I make. Probably too much effort, some might argue.
I feel like AI is doing more of the work than you are, Glenn.
I'm writing the lyrics, bro.
Okay, you know, before you say it, in the chat, was Pop Your Bubble, was that a good song or a bad song? I want everyone to pick a side. We're being divisive here.
It's Glenn, good. I mean, look, it's no Liquid Dreams by O-Town.
Liquid Dreams is pretty good.
Liquid Dreams is amazing. Like, for so many reasons. But that's neither here nor there. But, no, I thought the promo was very well done. I do like when they use current music. I believe it's a current song. I do like when they use that. But I think, look, the presentation of Tiffany Stratton is amazing. So I have a couple thoughts.
Yeah.
One, the one-on-one interview, the side-by-side interviews that they did. Bayley, people online were like, "Ooh, this is kind of shooty because she's saying that Nia is still unsafe, hurts her opponents." It was very interesting and it seemed very real. And I like that it played off the history these two had going back to NXT. I thought that was really well done. And it makes me very excited for this match at SummerSlam. You know, their match in NXT was great. Mm-hmm. Like, great David and Goliath story. They set Nia up as unstoppable. Bayley also had that great match against Eva Marie when Nia was kind of there hanging around, and it seemed like everyone thought they were going to, you know, use hijinks and shenanigans to get that title off Bayley. But that being said, I love the heat that it built. And Meechan Mia Yim, I've been saying this for a year now, one of eight that I've been hosting.
It's Meechan. She's no longer Mia Yim.
She'll always be Mia Yim to me.
That's you and your Walter Mia Yim.
Meechan.
Probably still calling him Ty Dillinger on NXT.
Meechan has the most competitive losses. Like a shocking number of competitive. Like if you look at the matches that are clearly there most of the time to get over her opponent, and make them look credible. Like, these are not squashes. She has very competitive matches where she does an amazing job wrestling. She has everything but the dub. That should be a new Ben and Jerry's flavor. Everything but the dub.
It should be some merch too.
Yeah. So tonight, due to Bailey destroying that briefcase and distracting Tiffany Stratton, I love that Meechan stole a win from Tiffany Stratton. That made me so incredibly happy tonight. Meechan deserves to get a real push in storyline, but she is doing phenomenal work in the ring. She was great in that North American NXT women's ladder match at Battleground. She's doing great stuff in NXT, great stuff on the main roster. I was so happy to see her get a win tonight.
Well, and this is kind of what we're talking about so far tonight, is you got to get wins sometimes. I feel like with this win, this is a big win, and it was relatively clean too. Obviously, there's stuff going on the outside, but she didn't cheat to win. This is the kind of thing that's going to make her next matches more interesting. She doesn't need to win all of them, but now her next two or three matches going to be a little bit more spicy than they would have been if she had just lost again, because she was always losing. So now it's like, okay, maybe something's going on with Meechan here. Plus, now there's a little bit of value in, now will she have to face Nia Jax? Will Tiffany Stratton win a rematch? There's going to be a lot of stuff they can do with her now. Do you think it was a smart idea to have Tiffany Stratton, someone who's positioned for the world title, to lose, though?
But it was so banana peeled with that distraction. Yeah. And Bailey, who is kind of been on the trajectory of coming back around to being not original I'm a hugger Bailey, but she's been on the track back to like fan favorite babyface. To have her just like stomping the hell out of that briefcase tonight is the most heel thing Bailey has done probably since she knifed the Bailey buddies.
I really love that she stomped the briefcase. I'm surprised we don't see people destroy the briefcase more often, to be totally honest. I'm surprised it's not a more regular thing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, didn't Otis really desecrate the sanctity of the briefcase with the ham sandwich inside of it?
Well, didn't destroy it though. I mean,
it's true.
Maybe. Last thing, you alluded to this a little bit, but with Bailey talking about how she got hurt because Nia was clumsy, I'm kind of torn on how I feel about this, because it does make it feel like, oh, blurred lines. Is this, you know, it's always cool when you can blur lines, but at the same time, it kind of feels like you're saying this isn't real, because she's not. It's not because you're stronger than me. It's because you were uncoordinated. Not to be that guy, but if this was a real fight, you wouldn't be like, oh, you didn't, you know, in the UFC, they're not like, you broke my arm, not because you're talented, but because you were clumsy. It's like, well, they still broke your arm though. You know what I mean? I don't know. I felt that usually it doesn't bother me, but for some reason, this one hit me a little weird. Fair for me to say?
Compared to the talk Candice LeRae was doing to Maxine Dupree 3 months ago, like, this is like a 4 on a scale of 1 to 10.
That's fair.
You know, like, and I think, and like, I was out last week, but I saw online the virality of the Bubble Bailey line and whatnot. So it's like Nia and Bailey are clearly, they're in cahoots. How's that for an old man term? Like, they're clearly collaborating, like, behind the scenes to make the kayfabe feud better. I guarantee you this was something that they obviously both were okay saying this. And look, Nia, like, first person to give Nia her flowers. I think Nia has improved that time off. Nia, any criticisms people had about her style before or whatnot, I think she came back to WWE a much improved wrestler.
Oh, she's been fantastic since she's come back. I'm actually shocked she hasn't been a champion yet since she's come back.
Might be happening. It
very well could. I think... Sorry, I know Flobo's in the chat, but I think it should happen. Do you think it's Nia time?
Do you think Tiffany Stratton cashes in and then all hell breaks loose in that match?
I have a feeling that because they are teaming up, they're kind of working together.
Yeah.
I've been going to work together. Nia Jax is going to win the title, and then Tiffany Stratton's going to go, oh no, what did I do? This is not good, because Nia is more dangerous than Bailey, in that world. I do think Bailey is one of the greatest of all time, though.
Absolutely.
So we get to the main event. Cody Rhodes and Kevin Owens versus A-Town Down Under. Rhodes wanted to fight alone, but Nick Aldis said you have to have a partner. So it's Kevin Owens, who, based on what Solo Sikoa said earlier, is now on the Bloodline's bad side. Cody and Owens get the win, but afterwards, the Bloodline and Jacob Fatu especially destroy Rhodes and Owens. So this is something I wanted to do, I was talking about at the very beginning here, is a lot of talent in WWE right now. I feel like as I watch SmackDown, it's a little top heavy. Like I'm watching this and I don't know what the ratings in the video game are for Grayson Waller and Austin Theory, but I can tell you they are much lower than Cody Rhodes and Kevin Owens. It doesn't feel like there's a whole lot of people that match up to Cody Rhodes and Randy Orton. And, you know, even like Solo Sikoa, they're doing a great job building up this new Bloodline. But even Solo Sikoa, I'm like, I don't know if I believe this guy has got a chance against Cody Rhodes. Am I talking crazy here, Glenn, or do they have a top heavy roster?
Yeah, it's interesting right now, the balance of it all, right? Like, it's not, it's very tough to believe that Cody is really in danger, even if it's 4-on-1. It's like forgiven everything Cody went through, he is unstoppable, right? And I think that when these entrances started at like 6:33 p.m. Pacific tonight, it was kind of like, oh, okay, there's gonna be some shenanigans after this. Like, I don't like when they do that, because it really, with Solo being like, whoever teams with you crosses the Bloodline. I thought Solo's promo was good tonight. Let me be clear. Solo has had challenges as leader of the Bloodline, but I think he's on a bit of an upswing. I think Jacob Fatu has been an excellent addition. But this match was inconsequential because you knew that Cody and Kevin were winning, and you knew after the Bloodline was going to show up and all hell was going to break loose.
It's a little unfortunate. I love WWE because it's very consistent, but at the same time, that almost sometimes makes it predictable. Like when he said, I need a partner, I think we all said, oh, it's going to be Kevin Owens. I don't think Kevin Owens coming out really shocked anybody.
You didn't think Joe Hendry was going to step up?
No. No. I'm torn because, is it surprising? Absolutely not. Is it compelling? Not as much.
Not really.
But is it the right thing to do? Yes. That's how you tell a story. You're supposed. It's, you know, like when Captain America needs help and Iron Man shows up, I'm not like, oh, I knew it was going to be, you know, you're like, yeah.
Actually, in the comics, that rarely happens. Normally, it's like Cap needs help and it's like someone like Iron Man showing up, but like, oh my God, this is what a shocking development. Is this an issue of Marvel team up? I mean, I know they're in the Avengers together, but normally it's going to be like Nomad or Nick Fury or maybe Agent 13 or.
It's always someone who you're kind of like, oh.
Yeah. You're like, okay, well, this was pretty obvious.
You're like, they're cool, but. Oh
yeah. Random shield person isn't really, what I was expecting.
Person who probably will die before the end of the series.
Yeah. Like it's rare that it's like Nightcrawler from the X-Men showed up. That would blow my mind in a Captain America book.
Right. Right. But it's always in any case, it was everything they were supposed to do, I think they did very well. It just felt very like, yeah, that's what's going to happen on this show.
And it was to take on A-Town Down Under. This wasn't like Cody Rhodes needs a friend to help him against his greatest adversary. It was like, no, this is Austin and Grayson. Like Cody even said, I got this on my own. Make it a handicap match. I can beat these two. No one would question that credibility from our world champion, our universal champion, whatever it is. No one would question that. So it's kind of like it could have been.
Could have been Carmelo Hayes.
It could have been Carmelo Hayes. I mean, but it could have been Lexus King and people would have been like, yeah, Cody's winning. It could have been Andre Chase and people would have been Cody's
Lexus
winning.
King. Oh my God. He's great.
Could have been R-Truth. Could have been anyone.
But yeah, like as Ricky Sinclair in the chat says, Grayson is rated 73 in the game. And Austin Theory is 76. I haven't gotten this year's game yet. So I don't know what, Cody and Kevin Owens are, but I would guess they're rated like Owens is probably like 85 and Cody's probably like 94 or something.
Yeah, it's
like
really
that.
High. I'm happy to report my GM mode works this year without crashing in week 10 like last year kept doing.
Oh, who's your champion?
Women's champion.
Glenn, the Max Power Rubenstein.
No. Okay, so in I'm running NXT. In there, Tyler Breeze is my GM. Nikita Lyons is my female champion. My men's champion, LA Knight, is often the North American title holder, and then the main title holder. Because on the ratings, because of the audience pops and whatnot, it is sort of a ringer to have it be like Cody and Roman just feuding with each other. Like it's just an easy way. I can get really creative with everything else I do if I keep them in the top feud.
Right. Yeah, that's kind of the bummer of that mode. What's fun about that mode, though, for anyone who's played it, is it does kind of give you insight into like this is probably why they book this way because there's certain things like
super formula.
You're like, oh, I get why they always have those people at the top, or why like they do these different things to keep the. To keep the feud going. Oh, it's
But there's no story. Actually, they put in a teensy little bit of story where I've had like Carmella or somebody, because you get messages from superstars some weeks, and Carmella is like, hey, this new girl on the roster drank my coffee in catering. I want to teach her a lesson, book us in a match. Like, and that's the closest thing you get to a story for these feuds.
You know, AI is gonna be our overlord someday, but would actually love for them to find a way to integrate AI into the wrestling game so you could have never ending like story development and character stuff happening, so that instead of them having to rewrite, you know, pre-fill in all these stories, you could have stuff that just sort of feeds off of itself and you can build these stories that happen and learn from itself and a never ending universe of stuff. I think it would be really
cool. Jack, let me tell you, 5 years ago, in my, you know, 8-year tenure of hosting this podcast, on December 13th, 2018, I posted a tweet using predictive AI. This is an early version of like what we see now with ChatGPT. I used predictive AI to help write an episode of Monday Night Raw.
Oh.
Yes, it's still on my Twitter.
And it's 2008?
2018, sorry.
Or 2018?
Yes.
I would be very curious because Raw was not good in 2018, so I'd be very curious to know what was going on. It's probably Eric Rowan and this mechanical spider defeat.
Let's get through this, and I will read the time capsule from Glenn's highlights hosting Wrestling Inc. I will read the AI version of Raw that I wrote with AI in 2018.
Well, this pretty much covers the show. This is done. I mean,
Bloodline's standing tall at the end because Jacob Fatu out of nowhere.
Jacob Fatu is awesome.
He is awesome. But it's getting kind of predictable. You don't see him with the Bloodline, it's because he's going to sneak attack.
I cannot wait until we eventually get Braun Breaker versus Jacob Fatu in just a demolition derby. I'm going to love it.
Yeah, it'll be good. Decent show tonight. You could tell they were taping two shows. They're going to be in Japan next Friday. SummerSlam's in 2 weeks. It's good.
Yeah. Scale of 1 to 10.
This was like a high six.
High six. So better than, you know, a lot of people think like six is like a failing grade, but six is really above the middle in a 1 to 10.
Yeah, 5 is the average. But I'll say Andrade versus Carmelo, excellent match. And love the Bayley Nia promo and loved Tiffany and Meechan. And with Bayley and Nia and shenanigans outside. That was fantastic.
Yeah, I thought it was a good show. I'd give it a 6 or 7, actually, because I do think everything they did was great. It was just kind of uneventful is really the gist of it. So it all built towards something. It was all for a good cause. It just wasn't, we're not going to look back at this one in 5 years and be like, man, remember that one? That was like a crazy SmackDown. I don't know. I'd give it a 6 or 7. Glenn, where can the world find you online and all that good stuff?
I'm at Glenn Rubenstein. And Jack, before we go, do you want to hear the AI Raw? Do you want to?
Oh, yeah, let's hear.
This is so of its time.
Let's hear your AI Raw 2018.
2018, early AI. Now I want to preface this. There was a bit of a meme at the time, which was like, we forced an AI bot to watch 1,000 hours of Seinfeld, then told it to write an episode.
Oh, yes, yes.
So what I did, and I legitimately did this, I said, like, I forced an AI to watch 100 hours of Monday Night Raw and wrote an episode. So what I did was I took recaps from Wrestling Inc. and I copied and pasted them into this AI, this Botnik Studios thing. And that way, when I said Monday Night Raw opens from, and it was like Mad Libs, it would give me 3 options to choose. And I always chose the funniest one.
Yeah.
So just remember, a lot of this is the humor about what was going on in 2018. And then the commercials were a big part because, you know, right. I used to love Monday Night Raw. Used to have like the Bosley hair commercial with Mike going, this is my hair. Like, used to love pizza droppers. Do you remember when Domino's thought wrestling fans were so like Nia Jax clumsy and stupid that they were like, we have insurance. If you drop your pizza on your way taking it out of here, we're going to give you another one.
Yes. See, I like to go further back. I was a big fan of the old Stacker Fives that were shoved out, like pitched to us relentlessly back in the day. But yeah, like Domino's, it's so funny. Like they're like that classic meme of like, what if we, like now it's the whole, like, if you tip more than $3, we'll give you $3 off your next pizza. And they're like, hey, we'll have a rocket ship deliver your pizza. Or now, like, the pizza insurance, just make better pizza.
That's all
we're asking for. Yeah. Just make your pizza edible. That's all you need to do. You don't need, like, well, what if we put sparklers in the corners and then give you a little whirly hat if you buy a pizza? Just make the pizza good.
So some of this was a little foreseeing in the future. Because remember, this was December 2018. AEW did not exist yet. Okay, so Monday Night Raw, Hour 1. Tonight's show comes to us from the American Sleep Center in Tappout, Massachusetts. Michael Cole welcomes us on commentary. Out comes Baron Corbin to the ring. He says, you suck. Finn Balor appears with his new t-shirt. They trade words while Elias is trying to sing. Corey Graves mentions how good this will be. Sasha Banks is backstage with Bayley. She asks what they can do tonight. Stephanie McMahon announces herself for the main event.
Oh.
We go to a commercial for discount insurance against hair loss caused by dropping your pizza. Back to the ring, and Elias has been arrested. Finn Balor taunts Baron Corbin and they both look around. Renee Young asks, what just happened? Seth Rollins is out next with Drew McIntyre. Dean Ambrose is backstage and says he's not happy. He leaves. It's like I could see in the
future. Ooh.
Back to the ring and the match is underway. Rollins fights. Drew starts talking trash. The fans start chanting, we want Dolph Ziggler, and the referee looks confused.
Wow, that makes sense.
Baron Corbin enters the ring and nails Seth Rollins, and then Finn Balor appears and hits Drew McIntyre. We go to a commercial about how vaping teens with Skittles pox have little lungs because they deserve a big network.
It's metal in your lungs. Yes.
Makes me want to start a heavy metal band. That'll be our tagline. It's metal in your lungs. Back from the break, and this is now a tag team match. Drew McIntyre pins Finn Balor. Baron Corbin laughs and says he will win everything. Ronda Rousey comes out to the ring. The Bellas are backstage watching, and they both look down. Ronda talks about how she cares. Nia Jax attacks her from behind. They tangle until we cut to a commercial for USA's new reality show, Chris Lee's Ninja Country Purge.
Chris Lee's, oh God, that's right, that show.
Back from the break, and Mickie James is in the ring with security guards. We go backstage watching as Alexa Bliss runs down the ramp into the ring. Ember Moon also goes to the ringside to fight someone. Ruby Riott is on commentary with Natalya. They stare each other down. We cut to a video package showing the highlights from earlier tonight. Corey Graves mentions Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar is not there.
It's frightening how long ago that was.
Yes.
Yet how clearly, and how that was made up. That was really a lot of gibberish in there, but at the same time, really a clear visual of what 2018 looked like at the same time in a weird, very weird way. So many things about that were very like, oh yeah, that like, I'm actually glad you had the commercials in there, because like Grizzly Knows Best. I always say this about commercials, by the way. This is like the, I don't know if this bothers you, but it bothers me, is like when bad commercials come on, I think to myself, is this what you think of me? This is what people think of wrestling fans whenever like certain things come on. Like they're like, are you injured and need like, money? Or do you,
like, you are can't you, afford a real cell phone plan?
Can you not, like, do you need insurance that's a little shady?
Yeah. Do you need insurance from need insurance?
By the way, here's a pizza chicken wing bowl with chips in it and some vape pens.
Are you dressed up to go to an anime convention and spot someone else in the subway and think, screw this, let's just go get Taco Bell?
It's all such like, yeah, everything I see, I'm like, that's what they think of me.
Yeah, I know, it's terrible.
This is what people think of me. This is who they think. You know, they never advertise like classy cars, or like they're never, it's never like, hey, buy real estate through us or anything like that. It's always just the worst stuff.
No, it is. It is the worst. And the weird thing is, you know this because you work in media, when they're doing Little Lungs and Stop Vaping and all that stuff, that's unsold airtime that they're giving at a substantial discount or for free to nonprofits.
Yes.
As part of an FCC requirement for doing a public service.
And they used to show a lot of anti-vaping ads. That metal in your lungs guy was probably on Raw more than Baron Corbin was during that time.
Dolph Ziggler's most airtime he got was telling the cricket girl, you're on fire.
Cricket. That's the other one. Yeah. It's like, it's not like Verizon. It's not like the, it's never.
We can't even get Ryan Reynolds and Mint Mobile. Like
Ryan Reynolds like, nah, I don't need to be on that show. Do you have another show I could be on? Is Big Bang Theory on before that? Maybe I
could. Are you showing The Accountant again? We can advertise on that.
Because that's also the other thing is like Grizzly Knows Best is on after. Like, is that what they think the show leads into? Is Grizzly Knows Best? I don't even know what that is, but the commercials were always like, ugh, what is this?
It was so. I was watching back. If you go back to my
if
first,
if you're a big
appearance,
fan of it, I'm gonna feel bad for making fun.
No,
of it,
no, no, no. If you go back to my first appearances on the show, I'm talking about how USA scheduled the launch of SmackDown Live to coincide with the premiere of Shooter the series, based on the movie Shooter. And I'm talking about this. Where I'm like, oh no, Shooter debuts on the 26th. Like, I know the schedule because if you watch wrestling, you used to be keenly aware of what was going on with USA program.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Pacific Blue was the greatest post-Sunday Night Heat show you could ask for.
Oh, and what's tonight? What about tonight, Fox on the app pushing this Lifeguards Hawaii show with the eerie a cappella Weezer song? Like,
yeah.
Listening to the haunting melodies of Weezer.
Well, on the beach.
I get the juxtaposition. I get it's supposed to be like, it's a happy song, but we're making it sound like foreboding. But I'm like, Weezer? That's your pick? And I love Weezer, but it's like, Weezer's not your creepy a cappella song.
Yeah, it's a very... Yeah, it's so every time I see... everything that's TV show adjacent with wrestling, I take offense to it.
Yeah.
By the way, I hope everyone's buying from our sponsors on this program. You know that ad you watched before you started? That is a great company.
Quality.
And you should,
good stuff.
You should buy from them.
I admit, I don't have hair problems, full head, but if I did, I'd buy Bosley. I would do it.
Bosley, I think we're a Hims company now.
Are we? Maybe Keeps something? I don't know.
Maybe it's Keeps. Yeah. We used to do live reads. We don't do the live reads
anymore. Yeah, if I need a second line, like a burner phone, I'll get some Cricket Wireless.
Yeah, something untraceable.
Some numbers, like... hit me up on Cricket. Where what happened to Boost Mobile? Can I get, like, the Where You At dog anymore?
They're like... It's like, yeah, you give, here's my Cricket wireless phone. So you can text me. Are you an unsuccessful drug dealer?
Boost Mobile's still in business.
Is it really? That's for the successful drug dealers.
But what was with the idea that Boost had, and this is how old we are, this was like almost 20 years ago, Boost had this idea of, we're going to essentially put a walkie-talkie in your phone. So instead of calling you, your friend could just like, you hear a voice out of nowhere going like, where are you at? Where are you at, dog? Like, who wants that?
Which, you know what, though? I want to make fun of that because in hindsight, that is terrible. But I remember the time when texting was getting big, people saying, why would you write a text? Just call them. But now, if you call me.
Yeah, if you call me, that's, but answering. Could you imagine, Jack, if instead of calling you, you just heard me being like, yo, Jack, it's Glenn, what's up? And you'd be like, what the, like, why? Right. This is terrible. Can I pay money, more money to turn this off?
Yeah. Boop, boop.
Just, yeah.
No, leave me alone. As you're like on the toilet. It's like, yeah. Hey, talk to me right now.
My brother had the Boost Mobile thing, and it was just like every 5 minutes someone was like, hey, and I was just like, dude, just shut this off. Jack, if we were sitcom, I'd be like, can you imagine? I've been doing this for 8 years. Can you imagine where WWE will be 8 years from now? And then we would go do, and it would be like, in 8 years from now, WWE like wrestling on the moon.
You know, I think 8 years ago it would actually be. Oh, 8 years from now, or if we
saying 8 years from now, if we envision the future, like there'll be WrestleMania on Mars.
Noah Amdar is already from the moon, so we're halfway there. But yeah, I mean, when you look at the growth from 8 years ago to today, I was going to say it's funny because 8 years ago, it actually probably wouldn't be that different. If I was saying, yeah, Cody Rhodes will be around, Roman Reigns will be around.
Eight years ago in 2016. I mean, Cody had just quit WWE.
Yeah, but him coming back wouldn't be that shocking, would it?
In fact, if you go back, I was putting over the American Nightmare as a gimmick and saying, like, putting him in the suit in this presentation. I was a big Stardust fan. I really liked and appreciated the stuff they'd done. But I was like, I see bright things for this guy with this rebrand that he's doing. So I was a little,
a lot of us podcast hosts, we like to tout our wins. And I'm just going to tell you, when Legacy was around, I was like, forget Cody Rhodes. Ted DiBiase is the person you need to be. He's got a future ahead. I was so wrong on that one. I was totally, totally wrong. I was like, yeah, Ted DiBiase. I think it's because Cody didn't wear knee pads and it bothered me. So I was like, forget Cody Rhodes, man. I mean, hopefully he has a good career, but Ted DiBiase is going to change the business. And then,
like, that's whoops. Where it's at. Yeah.
Well, I think we've done enough.
I think we've done enough damage for one night.
By the way, if you are a sponsor like Manscaped, for instance, I'm a huge fan of sponsors. In fact, my favorite thing to do is buy sponsors' products. So go visit our parent company from Wrestling Inc. and send them money so we can talk all about your amazing product. That does it for us. Follow me at Real Jack Farmer across all social media. We have no live shows this weekend, but we'll be back on Monday. Follow at Wrestling Inc. That does it for us, guys.
Yeah. Glenn, catch y'all soon.
Goodbye.
Have a great weekend.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.